Thank you for listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, an independent space that was created to turn up the volume of women, non-binary, and gender-expansive voices in song and conversation. It's a show that amplifies and multiplies those voices that are still not heard in equal numbers to give you an hour of radio unlike any other, created, hosted, produced, engineered, and powered by women. And thanks to radio stations like this one that bring you She Rose Radio each week, we get together for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities. To quote bell hooks, feminism is for everybody. This is She Rose Radio, and this radio revolution starts now.
Bring shame to the flock. I was sick with resentment, couldn't help myself. The earth is shaking, I wanna go home. The clock is ticking, we'll go it alone. The rest is history, a host of mistakes, a strange turn of events, an unfortunate mess.
From Hannah Jadagu, that's My Love on Shiro's Radio, and wishing the amazing Shirley Manson of Garbage the happiest of birthdays on Tuesday, August 26. We heard There's No Future in Optimism, a track from the new Garbage album, Let All That We Imagine Be the Light. And by the way, if you missed Shirley on Shiro's a couple weeks ago, definitely go check that out. It's there for you on the Shiro's podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And with that, that, I welcome you to the She Rose Radio Hour, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you, as always, as together we turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation. And this week, we have composer, producer, and modular synth master, Caitlin Aurelia Smith, in the She Rose Spotlight. It's a fascinating conversation coming up in the second part of the show, so I hope that you can stay with us for that. Right now, wishing Tori Amos a very happy belated birthday. Hers was on Friday, August 22nd. Going back to Under the Pink for this one.
It was a good solution, hanging with the raisin girls. She's gone to the other side, giving us a yo-yo. Things are getting kind of gross, and I go at sleepy time. This is not really, this is not really happening. With my encyclopedia, there must have paid her a nice price. She's putting on a string big love. This is not really, this is not really happening. You bet your life it is. You bet your life it is. Honey, you bet your life. It's a peel out the watchword. Just peel out the watchword.
Another Shiro born this week, Florence Welch, whose birthday is on Thursday, August 28th, going back to the debut Lungs for Rabbit Heart, Raise It Up. And exciting news, if you haven't heard it, that this Halloween we'll see the return of Florence and the Machine with a new album called Everybody Scream. Also wishing Tori Amos a belated happy birthday with Cornflake Girl. Hers was on August 22nd. I'm Carmel Holt. Don't go anywhere because our conversation with Caitlin Aurelia Smith is coming up after the break. Stay with us.
You are listening to Shiro's Radio here on KAXE, KBXE. I'm Andrew DeZingle. We receive support from the Lake Country Journal, a magazine showcasing the beauty, landscapes, and people of Lake Country. The February-March issue publishes the winners of their annual photo contests, which are also displayed at the Brainerd Lakes Regional Airport. Submissions accepted all year round at lakecountryjournal.com. And we receive support from Rapids Brewing Company, a place for gathering and community featuring live music multiple times a week, farm fresh food, and rotating beers from their own brew house. More information about their events, music, and menu available at rapidsbrewingco.com. The KAXE Newsroom has created a map of northern Minnesota farmers markets throughout our region, from places like Park Rapids to Reamer and Black Duck to Crosby. Most markets run through September or October. Find the map at kaxe.org. Now back to Shiro's Radio.
You're listening to Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. On Shiro's, we talk a lot about the lack of visibility of women in tech, and there's been several studies detailing huge gender bias in electronic music, audio production, and engineering. So it's remarkable when a woman's name becomes synonymous with mastery of any of those things. This week's guest is a known expert in all three and has been called a savant of the modular synth. Caitlin Aurelia Smith hails from the Pacific Northwest, was classically trained, and is a multi-instrumentalist and singer. She studied composition and sound engineering at Berklee College of Music, but when she discovered her love for the modular synthesizer, it became a central component of her work, which blends traditional instrumentation and her voice with synthesis into beautiful and at times playful soundscapes. Caitlin's been releasing albums for a decade, as well as composing film scores, collaborating with artists such as Hot Chip, Panda Bear, Fortet, and doing remixes. And this week, we celebrate the arrival of Gush, her ninth album since 2015. I am so thrilled to welcome Caitlin Aurelia Smith as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. First, I want to say an official welcome to Caitlin Aurelia Smith. Did I do it right?
Yeah, you did it right.
Nailed it. We're here to talk about your amazing new album, Gush. First of all, talk to us a little bit about your particular journey. I know that you started off as a classically trained musician, right?
Yeah, I studied classical guitar and wanted to be a conductor. So I studied orchestration and also wanted to do film scoring. And while I was studying that, I started getting more into sound engineering, and that became my degree at the college that I went to. And then after graduating, I was feeling a lack of accessibility to orchestras and was trying to decide what to do and decided to just let go of music. And I sold my guitar and I just like sold everything and moved into a different pursuit. And within like a week, a very kind neighbor lent me a Buchla synthesizer and was like, spend some time with this, see if you like it. And so I started composing and just actually like really getting to explore sound and the fundamentals of composition and learn how I approach sound in a very like pressure-free way for about a year, because I had that foundation of I am no longer pursuing this as a career path. It like opened up such a space of presence for me to be really curious. And during that process, I just really fell in love with synthesis and learned everything I know about synthesis from that experience, and it's still how I approach synthesis. And now it's like this really beautiful merging of all of the things, writing for orchestral instruments, using my voice, synthesis, sound engineering. And yeah, I'm really grateful and happy that it came back to me.
That's an amazing story. When that neighbor showed you the Buchla synthesizer, maybe I should back up one step for our listeners. Can you explain what that is? If someone has never heard of that or doesn't know what that looks like?
Yeah, it's a modular synthesizer, and it was brought into like the quote unquote mainstream world around the same time as Robert Moog. From what I've heard, they both appeared at a convention showing these electronic devices that they wanted to share, were able to make music. And Buchla went in the direction of interfaces that went away from like a traditional Western keyboard setup. And Moog went in the direction of approaching musicians who wanted to have that familiarity. And Moog uses subtractive and Buchla uses additive synthesis. And I was really drawn to the Buchla for a few reasons. I mean, one, it was the first thing I ever learned synthesis on. And I feel so grateful for that because coming from a classical background, the Overtone series is really embedded in me. And it's how I think about engineering and mixing and creating. And my brain is just always thinking about additive frequencies and that philosophy. And so it felt very natural to me. But I love Moog synthesizers as well. I love them all. So that's kind of a short synopsis.
So what was that feeling when you first were introduced to it? Like, were you intimidated at all? Or were you like, let's go, I'm going to go play?
I think more the latter. I wasn't intimidated for the most part with figuring out things. If it's just me and something, then I don't feel intimidation because I know it's just like a matter of building a relationship with something and like having patience with that. If it's me and something and people are watching, then that's when intimidation happens for me.
So when you were a college student, I've heard tell of the experience of women being in classrooms where, especially if they're going into engineering or something that is more tech oriented, that they find themselves outnumbered. Was that your experience as well?
Definitely outnumbered, yeah. My job during college was as a stage manager and sound engineer in the Live Nation venue that was connected to the college. And there was a while where I was the only female. And then there was like a portion where there was maybe like three of us on the crew. Mm-hmm. And I had a job right after college where I got hired to be a sound engineer on like a touring TV show. And halfway through the tour, they changed my position to band manager because they wanted the females to be the band managers and the males to be the sound engineers. So I did have experiences like that and still definitely interface with that kind of energy, especially when I'm performing live. That's like when I see it the most.
Oh, wow. And I hope it's okay that we're diving into so many of these topics right off the bat. Because I also, of course, want to celebrate and talk about the amazing new album. And I was so curious about what your journey has been to get you to this album and like what this, you know, next phase of your music making might be about or the foundation upon which it was built. Take us through the genesis of how you made music and take us to Gush.
Yeah, when I borrowed the Buchla 100, my first interactions with it were just like learning the fundamentals of synthesis, just like through my own intuitive understanding of it. I didn't have internet at that time and I didn't have a manual. And so I was really enjoying just like learning it through relationship. And then I would like run my voice through it, run guitar through it and piano through it. So from the beginning, it was kind of like always incorporating some sort of acoustic or like orchestral or some natural element to it. And that has definitely stuck since then. And I think at first I was just trying to have fun with it. Like it was just like a journal entry basically of my new life that I was creating because I was on a new pursuit. And so it just became this like daily journal. And then after I left the place I was at where I had the Buchla 100, I moved to the Bay Area and I had like a moment of sadness where I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not doing synthesis anymore. Like that chapter's over. And then another bukla entered my world. And it just kind of became this pattern, and still honestly to this day is, and I feel so grateful for it because they're very expensive instruments. And so I keep calling them like my synthesizer fairies, where I feel like everywhere I go, someone is like, do you want to play this? Do you want to borrow this? And so I think I continued to stick with it because I was like, well, it's very clear that resources keep like appearing. And then I also started looking for like residencies and universities that weren't using their gear, and just finding other ways to interact with rare modular synthesizers that are either more than a house or as much as a house, or, you know, too fragile to move. And then would take all those recordings and write parts for like a woodwind ensemble, or there's this one saxophone player that I would collaborate with a lot. And then it just naturally evolved into me writing songs and sharing albums. And then I had my first record deal with Western Vinyl, and then that grew into other things. And it's like come really natural for me to like constantly reach out to people and like want to connect with them. And that's created a lot of opportunities and still does. And then there's also been like a simultaneous like natural flow that keeps me thinking like, okay, there must be something to this, so I'll stay with it.
So take us to Gush. If you were introducing this album to somebody that wasn't familiar with your music or your background, how would you introduce Gush to them and what it's about?
Let's see. I think it's my 8th or 9th album. And this is maybe the first album where I feel like I'm actually sharing my personality, like my unguarded personality, which I think like connecting to femininity and gender, and like I don't fully identify as like female all the time, but this album has like a lot more of my femininity in it. And I feel like in the past, because I was navigating such environments where it felt like femininity was seen as like a crutch or as something that would make me less, then I kept that part really hidden, and like I would just focus on like production and would collaborate with other visual artists and be like, you come up with the visual identity. And this album was the first time where I'm sharing myself as a visual artist, because I love photography and I love dance and I love just the poetry of life. And I think I just hit a point where I was like, I definitely care. So I don't want to say I don't care. I hit a point where it didn't affect me in such a strong way to think about how people are going to perceive my vulnerability or my femininity. And I just wanted to create what I wanted to create and share myself as like my full expression as an artist. So this album, I think, came to me as the answer to the intention of like, what happens when I don't guard myself? And its theme, like Gush, is all about object empathy and about objectification and what it means to live in a world where that is something that we're all doing all the time in many gradients. There's like the far end of the gradient where we're objectifying something in like a really negative way, or there's like a really beautiful version of objectification where we're admiring objects for things that we're placing meaning onto them. And I really fell in love with that concept when I was reading a lot of design literature and like architecture literature. And that really activated my own creativity. And that's a really salient part of me, which is like this sense of presence with interaction in the day-to-day world that's like full of sensuality and romance. And that's just like how my creativity naturally flows. And that's also how I've always approached engineering and like synthesis and composition, is through that more like poetic side. And of course, my brain is like talking to me with technical knowledge when I need it, but I don't approach production in a very technical way. It's like what a lot of artists say, where it's like, learn everything so you can forget it. That's like more the approach that I love. And that's like, I think the classical background too, is where like you learn your instrument so that you don't have to think about it and you can just express and like play with the dynamics.
Could you direct us to a song that might pop into your head after talking about all that?
Sure. I mean, I had a lot of fun writing the song that's called Gush. And it's really just about like admiring the genius of everything, like trusting that everything has intelligence. And like, that's my favorite way to live my life, is to just assume that like, even if something is coming at me with like really intense negative energy or like intense energy, that like, there must be a reason to this. And like, it has an intelligence, and like, try and follow that thread. And I think that song was super fun to make because it sound-wise very much the relationship of how I feel with synthesizers, where I'm just like constantly like, oh my gosh, talk to me, like tell me. I just feel like I'm in this like constant play with synthesis where it's like showing me new sounds, and like we're like flirting with each other, and that's like the sonic version of that.
Gush, the title track to the new album by Caitlin Aurelia Smith, our guest today on She Rose. And I'm Carmel Holt. Watching your music videos, which, by the way, they're so, so beautiful for this record.
Thank you.
Wow.
That means so much to me, because it's like me sharing.
You made them.
Yeah.
You made them, right? Yeah.
Yeah. There is a lot of femininity in it. And I was trying to go for almost no gender, all gender, like the more like visceral aspects of life that are faceless,
yeah,
that don't
have
identity,
yeah,
that are things just like in service of. That's why like for all the photos, I have like the motorcycle helmet on. Trying not to like have too much of a face.
Well, that might be a cool segue for us to talk about presentation in music. What can you share with us about your experience navigating this world that is oral, but is also so visual? And we are kind of in this industry, in a world where being perceived is just kind of part of the gig.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very much on my mind all the time, especially because I'm someone that doesn't love having attention on me. And I've been like a super resistant performer for a long time. And now I'm like trying to, I guess, reframe that for myself so that I don't have so much discomfort for myself in the experience of it. And so much of the discomfort has come from the psyche trying to hold what it feels like to be observed, and what, and like try and make meaning of like, what does this mean to them? And I think I finally just surrendered to like, okay, I think a big part of being an artist is like you're willingly being a projection screen, like you're putting yourself out there for people to project onto you. That's a big part of what art does for so many people. And when I think about it like that, I have less discomfort. I think like taking myself out of it has actually been easier to put myself in it, which is like a really weird concept. And it's taken a really long time for me to get to that. And I'm still getting to it. It's interesting because so much of the journey, and it still happens, especially at soundcheck and live performance, but so much of it is, I feel like, being invited to show that, let's see, what are the words for it? It's like, for instance, in film scoring, sometimes I get feedback that, like, I actually had someone say, can you make this more masculine? I've done experiments, like, where I'm talking with someone and when I put my tomboy energy in, they like listen to me. But if I like put my normal energy in, they start to like say things to me like, oh, okay, so you're like a vocalist, or like they try and navigate my sound check for me and don't listen to me directing or leading it. And that's been like one of the biggest struggles, where now I have it in my rider. It says that I'm a sound engineer, that I'm gonna lead the sound check. And that's something that I didn't think I had to put in writing, which is like kind of wild that have to do that, but that's just the nature of it. And I feel like with presentation, I'm constantly feeling the invitation to like present more masculine in order to be taken seriously. And I really want to resist that because I don't think that I have to show that I know a lot of stuff to be capable. Like I just want to like make stuff and I don't really want to give into that. Like you have to prove yourself. So that's my more recent mentality is like, if I have to prove myself, then it's not the right environment anyways. And I feel like just constantly sharing my art over the last 10 to 15 years, it should be plenty of examples. So that's something I'm navigating all the time.
I guess the big question is what to do with it, right? What have you uncovered so far as ways of navigating? Would you hazard a guess or guesses at how to fix this?
I know it's a really big question that I don't have the answer to, and I'm constantly experimenting. And it's fascinating because one of my answers to it, like a long time ago, was because I think when I was a teenager and I was first writing songs and I saw the way that I was being treated and I was like, no, I don't want that. And so that's when I was like, okay, I need to learn how to engineer. And when I was a teenager, I started like shadowing producers to learn how to run their studios. And I think I've always gathered extremeness as my container for softness, like doing extreme sports or doing extreme physical things or like learning something so intensely that I can be like in an extreme category with it, or like just like going for, and not even in a competitive energy, mostly to protect my own natural way of wanting to be, because I want to be in softness all the time, that it felt like I needed this, or that I need this armor of a type of strength that I identify as like, I feel like I learned it from martial arts. It's like the type of strength where if you're someone who has a lot of self-discipline, you can basically learn anything and do anything. And that's the thing that has felt like the best tool for me. And not to say that I like I don't see myself as someone who has mastered things or anything like that, but it's like the pursuit of patient, stable practice and like falling in love with that process has created this armor where I no longer really care about the results. It's that I'm like in the long-term pursuit of, I want to see what happens for the rest of my life if I dedicate myself to getting better at things constantly. And I think I identified when I was younger that that's not something that comes easily to everyone, that type of dedication to things, and that if someone can like really stick to that, that that can be just worth so much more than being able to say whatever technical thing you need to say, or I don't know how to put it into words. It's like something I'm living with all the time. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. You were talking about femininity and vulnerability. And I was wondering if there were any of these songs that felt maybe a little like scary to share.
I mean, in a way, all of them, and in a way, none of them. Because I think so much of writing this album was me finding so much deep friendship and care with myself and so much like self-protection that it didn't really matter to me anymore if someone was like, that's too much, or that's, I don't know, it just didn't bother me in the same way. Yeah, so any of them.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, then why don't you take us to one of your favorite tracks or a track that you're really proud of?
Oh, well, the first one that's coming to mind is not necessarily the one that's like my favorite or that I'm the most proud of, but it's the first one that was written. That one is all about the form of synesthesia that I have, which is connected to my feeling center. And so like I get really strong urges as responses to sounds. And so that was just an embodiment of that energy.
I
That's a track called Urges from Caitlin Aurelia Smith's new album, Gush. We have her in the Shiro Spotlight this week. And my name is Carmel Holt. You know, earlier you were talking about the long term, kind of being excited to see where all this is going to take you. And another topic that I talk about here is longevity of career, because we live in an ageist society and it's a little bit more challenging for women. What is your perspective on that? Has that been something that's ever been of concern?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I think I have a lot of mentors and examples that are in their 70s that are like just getting started. And that's how I like constantly am seeing my future. And I think I have like really spent a lot of time on honing in my lifestyle so that I can feel like, okay, maybe when I'm 60, that's when I'm gonna like really have my dance career. Like, who knows?
I love that.
Yeah, there's a lot of examples that make me feel excited. And I think I stay focused on those ones. And I reference trees a lot because I've had a lot of experience with planting trees and watching that process of letting something grow in its own time and like how long it'll like continue to give fruit when it has the right growth cycle in the beginning. And I think also learning about tree health the last 2 years, I've gotten more into like hobbyist tree climbing where it's like you're in a harness and like you're going really high up in the trees. And whoa, to do that, I learned about identifying tree health. And that's been something that's been really interesting to me, is just like in general, having that connection with growing something really constantly helps me reflect on my own lifestyle of like, oh, if I catch these things as they're coming into view, then I can bring myself back into alignment in a way easier way. And that'll like help me have longevity. And I don't mean that just physically. I mean it like mentally, emotionally, all of it. And I think, I mean, I have no idea. I'm only 10 years into having a music career, but I think longevity has a lot to do with the health of all of those things. Like, how are your relationships with yourself, with your creativity, with the people you work with the people who listen, with the people who have like come before you or coming after you? Like, all of that feels really important.
Caitlin Aurelia Smith, thank you for being with us on Shiro's. Before we go, I want to give you this magic wand. And with it, you hold the power to change anything in music, in the music industry, for women, for non-binary folks, for queer folks, for anyone that doesn't have an equal platform. First wave of the wand, what would you do with the magic wand?
Wow. It's a hard one, especially with the things that feel like they can't be said.
Oh, there's nothing that can't be said here. That's the whole point of this thing.
I know. It's great. Yeah. I mean, I think I'll just say visibility, because I feel like there's just like so much invisibility. And then we're constantly internalizing like, why isn't this thing working? And it's not that the thing we're doing isn't working. It's that it's literally being hidden. So I think visibility.
That sounds right to me. May it be so. With thanks once again to Caitlin Aurelia Smith, take us out, please. Pick another track to close our time together.
Yeah, this next one is Into Your Eyes.
Thanks once again to Caitlin. Thank you for being with us on Shiro's. What a pleasure.
Thank you. It's so nice to talk to you.
Massive thanks to Caitlin Aurelia Smith. Her new album, Gush, is out now on Network Records. Today's conversation was condensed and edited for broadcast. To hear the full conversation, please download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, available everywhere you listen to podcasts or on YouTube at She Rose Productions. Next up, we close the hour with a track from Tuneyard's latest, and we celebrate Dua Lipa's birthday when She Rose Radio continues.
You are tuned in to She Rose Radio here on member-supported KAXE KBXE. I'm Andrew DeZingle. We receive support from Bemidji Brewing, announcing the release of the new Full Stinger Variety Pack featuring the Blood Orange IPA and Lemon Drop Blonde, available in liquor stores now. Bemidji Beer, nice catch. On the River is our volunteer-hosted mix of folk, rock, jazz, blues, and world music on KAXE 7 days a week. Trained community members choose the music every weekday at 1 and 7, plus Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 1. Big thanks to our dedicated volunteers. We receive support from Bemidji Pride, thanking everyone who attended the annual festival. More information at bemidjipride.com. And KAXE's long-awaited public beach map is here. Find your next swimming destination at KAXE. While you're there, you can help share your favorite beach with us, and we'll add it to the map. Now we'll take you back to She Rose Radio.
It's She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. One of my favorite albums of the year is the new one by Tuneyard. It's called Better Dreaming, and from it, here's Limelight.
shit down to our star. And even if I wanted to, I can't stop. Yeah, 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 yeah. My love is like a rocket watching blast off. And I'm feeling so electric, that's my ass off. And even if I wanted to, I can't stop. You, baby, my sugar boo, I'm levitating, the Milky Way, we're renegading. I got you, moonlight, you're my starlight. I need you all night, come on dance with me. I'm levitating.
Happy 30th birthday to Dua Lipa. She shares a birthday with Tori Amos, August 22nd, and that was Levitating on Shiro's Radio. And from the latest by Tune Yards, Better Dreaming, that was Limelight. And if you missed Meryl Garbus of Tune Yards on Shiro's, check that out on the Shiro's podcast. That does it for this week's edition of Shiro's Radio. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Wherever you may be listening together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the Shiro's podcast and to our new YouTube channel, Shiro's Productions, and find out more about Shiro's and support us at shirosradio.com. You can keep in touch. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at Shiro's Radio. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.